Next up, Russell Brand has spoken about being a father to his baby girl, Mabel, on ITV's This Morning. He had Mabel with his fiancée last November, and he revealed that having a girl has made him look at gender in an entirely new light.
Some people are saying now that we should bring our babies up gender neutral, that people, we shouldn't even give them kind of names that are girl-boy names.
Now that I have these very important women in my life, I have reevaluated the way that I unconsciously looked at gender, because now I've got a daughter, I think, oh, yeah, wow, no, don't necessarily need to dress her in clothes that are indicative of her gender. Why would you? Just see how she formulates. I've become sort of quite sensitive to that and aware of it.
Brand said, let the child grow up and be whatever the hell it is. Never tell it there is such a concept as gender. I've been speaking to the journalist and family campaigner Lynette Burrows and the broadcaster and writer Anne Atkins, who told me what she thought.
I think he's got a very good point. The gender stereotyping is phenomenally powerful, far more than we're consciously aware of. There have been studies that show that from the moment they're born, girls are talked to more than boys, and boys are get more physical, you know, bouncing up and down on the lap and all this kind of stuff. My daughter told me last week of a report that's recently come out, research that's recently come out, that if you have two sisters, one with a very feminine or obviously feminine name like Sophie or Catherine or Jane or Anne or whatever it may be, and the other with a gender-neutral name, Francis, Chris, Pat, whatever it might be, the sister with the gender-neutral name, statistically, will do better in maths and science than the other sister. That is astonishing. So I think he's making a very good point. Funnily enough, my mother, my parents were ahead of the game in all sorts of ways. And my mother was born in 1918. So that gives you her sort of age and generation and so on. She brought us up, for the time, extremely gender-neutral. My eldest sibling is a boy. When my next brother was born 11 months later, she gave him a boy. Gave him a doll. When my sister was then born, she gave both my brothers dolls. And funnily enough, I'm the youngest, so that I'd never had a baby sibling born, but the equivalent toy that was given to me was a typewriter. I find that fascinating. Why did I become a writer? Maybe because I was given a typewriter at a very early age. So I think he's saying something that is very relevant, actually, very important.
So are you saying, I'll come to you in just a second, Lynette, but are you saying then, Anne, you shouldn't tell a child that they are a boy or a girl?
There is a sort of, it's not exactly a paradox, but a sort of dichotomy here, that I think one should be tremendously proud of one's sex, one's biological sex. I'm really proud of being a woman, but that one should resist the gender stereotyping that, you know, girls wear pink and boys wear blue and girls are good at languages and boys are good at maths and girls play with dolls and boys play with buildings and all that kind of stuff. That I would resist wholeheartedly whilst embracing wholeheartedly your biological sex, because it's a wonderful God-given thing. And so I don't believe in resisting the actual facts, the biological facts you've been given. What I resist is the societal constructs that are put on that are totally unnecessary.
So, Lynette, if Russell Brand tells his small child, mm-hmm. you choose what you want to be. You choose who you are. Anything wrong with that?
Well, you might as well ask them which political party they belong to. They actually know very little about it. And, of course, the overwhelming majority of people never crosses their mind to try and propagandise in any respect. I would say that Anne's examples of boys being given, girls being given neutral names and then doing maths probably reflects a genetic predisposition in their parents towards the sciences, and they decided that they were not going to label their child. But the
this is sisters, Lynette. The study was done with sisters.
Well, so what?
Well, so what I mean is everything else in their life was presumably the same genes, the same upbringing and so on. But the very fact that they had gender-neutral names, I'm not suggesting, I don't actually put myself personally like gender-neutral names, but the very fact that they were given gender-neutral names gave them a head start in science and maths. I just find that very interesting.
I should think it's much more likely their parents' genes gave them a head start in
science. No, because it was the same genes, because they were sisters. The studies were done with sisters.
Yes, but sisters and brothers having the similar genetic components to them often do choose to do very different things. I just think it's very sweet. This is his first child. He will discover, with some dismay, no doubt, later on, that however hard you try to propagandize your children, that most of the differences that occur between them are come from the child. They're not just little passive pieces of plasticine that parents can mould in the way that they want. They can influence them, and if the influence is not what the child wants, it won't do them. How many children have refused to go into the company, the family's company or business, or have the same likes and dislikes, sport-mad fathers, and they can't bear even to see football on television? I mean, this is just so general. This is part of people's experience.
Well, here's what will be interesting. We can speak to Kieran Cooper, who has raised his son Sasha as gender neutral. Sasha's now 10. Hello, Kieran.
Hi there.
So, you offered your son a choice.
Well, no, not really. It was more our approach was about gender neutral parenting, the kind of things that Russell Brand was talking about, making sure that the stereotypes that exist in the culture that surrounds us. Were not, you know, that we didn't follow them, that we didn't, we did our best to kind of not expose him to them when he was little, and you know, when then later to as it were raise his consciousness about those stereotypes, so that he was able to challenge them, you know, because the stereotypes around gender, the cultural stereotypes around gender are huge, and it's impossible to avoid them.
So, and probably the stereotypes will be reflected in my questioning, Kieran. So when you're deciding whether your son would wear trousers or a dress, how did you square that?
We weren't really doing the kind of making dresses available sort of thing. It was ranges of colours, ranges of toys. All of those. We wanted to make all options available, really, so that he could engage with those things in whichever way he wanted to.
And if your son at an early age had wanted to wear a dress, would you have objected?
No, not at all. Because I don't think. It couldn't possibly do any damage, and it can only do benefits.
Well, surely the damage that it may do would be that if your son went into school looking different than the other boys.
Yes, and I think that's the a lot of I think the way that these stereotypes come about, in not only in gender but in all sorts of stereotypes, is the way that as society we seem to want to. Unite ourselves into tribes and disunite ourselves from other people because of that. But I think it's the challenge is when that's happening in a way that it happens to you without you really being aware of it or actively deciding one way or the other. So if Sasha had wanted to go to school in what one might describe as female clothing, then you know that would have been perfectly fine if it had caused bullying or whatever, we'd have addressed it. But it would have been his choice.
So given how you brought your son up so far, Kieran, in a gender-neutral environment, have you noticed anything of how your son is behaving or is growing up as a human being differently than how that so-called normal upbringing would be? And you know, normal's a pejorative word. But have you noticed any manifestations particular to how you've brought your son up?
Yeah, I think... he's definitely not in the ways in which he categorizes the differences between the between himself and his friends and you know the reason why his friends group together. There are all sorts of things to do with you know what computer games they're interested in or what YouTube videos they watch or whatever. But gender hasn't really come into it, and I think and his circle of friends includes both boys and girls, and I think that's and I'm not sure to what extent he's deliberately resisting that. And
is he still drawn to male things?
Does he? I think yes and no. I mean, he's doing some things which people might describe as stereotypically male, I guess. He's not doing some things which might be described as stereotypically female. But
let me ask a real basic question. If there were a group of boys and a group of girls separately in the school playground, who would he be drawn to?
I don't think it would be such a false distinction because I don't think he would he wouldn't think about whether to join that group on the basis of gender. I think that's the crucial thing that
don't most children
trying to do. Sorry?
Don't most children at that age?
Well, that's kind of what we're trying to what our whole thrust had been to try and prevent was to prevent gender being the main thing that people seize on as being the difference between kids.
What's wrong with a child, Kieran, being drawn to their sex, to their identity as a male or a female? What's wrong with that? What did you think was the potential damage that you wanted to avoid?
I think because it is. It was a phrase that Anne mentioned, talking about how sex is biological and gender is cultural. I think the fact that that these distinctions, that gender has become such culturally loaded concept, and that the things that are the stereotypes that are attached to that gender are a kind of being put on by by these other things that go on in society. So the challenge that we were trying to avoid is letting outside forces determine his characteristics. So, exactly as we were saying earlier, make sure that it's he who decides what he's going to be into, what he's not going to be into, rather than thinking, I can't do that because I'm a boy.
Let me just see what Anne and Lynette have made of this. Anne first.
Yes, I mean, dare I say, Stephen, what I'm staggered by is you're saying... Okay,
yeah.
Look, I don't like to think of myself as sexist, but I think I'd be very surprised at a woman presenter asking the question that you just asked, what is wrong with sexual stereotyping? Everything is wrong with sexual stereotyping. Women are still paid 25% less on average for the same work as men. What is wrong with sexual stereotyping? I mean, everything is wrong with sexual stereotyping.
I didn't phrase it like that, did I? I'm sounding defensive now, and I'm not.
Okay.
I think it's a good conversation to have. I was just trying to remember back to when I was when I was a child, and there, if there were a group of boys there when you're 7, 8, of course it changes when you get older, doesn't it? Sometimes, but when you were in those 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years of age, you would hang around with the boys, and the girls would hang around with the girls.
Well, I didn't. Speak for yourself. The thing is, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that is we still live in a society that is heavily balanced in favour of the blokes. I mean, it is. I know we're getting much more balanced. I know there's a great redress going on, but it is still very much a man's world. It's certainly, if you take globally, girls are still way behind boys in terms of education in the third world and in terms of, positions of influence and power and earnings and all that sort of thing. So it matters hugely. Funnily enough, I mean, going back to...
I feel it's dangerous for me to say this out loud, but I will, because it's probably not dangerous. But do you think many parents in this country would be concerned if their male child was drawn to a soldier toy and a female child was drawn to a Barbie doll? Is there anything wrong about that? Is there an old-fashioned nature in my questioning?
It's not wrong, not necessarily wrong. What I don't like is the way that society imposes these things. And study after study has shown that There's a phenomenally powerful subconscious thing at work here that you put a baby in pink and you behave one way, and you put a baby
Lynette,
in blue.
Very briefly, just because I'm running out of time.
I think the answer to this is to have a large family, and then you find when you've got anything over 4 children, 5 children, or 6, like I had, you don't buy. You buy things to suit the child, and within a few hours, they're all or none of them playing with them.
All right.
And in general, the girls tend to like things that they can talk to and mother and look after, and boys like things with wheels that they can crash about.
I've just found it a really interesting conversation. Anna Lynette, thank you. Kieran, thank you.